One of the key building blocks to society is the family. The settlers and the founders of America noted that our Constitution will only work with a religious and moral populace. Family is one of the keys to transmitting values from one generation to the next. Well, fast forward to today, and we see much of the breakdown of the family, and children are at risk. Pinkston Communications writes, quote, "A new study from America First Policy Institute reports that 391,000 vulnerable children in the U.S. are currently in foster care and face a critical need for improvements in the system. Reform is necessary to better support foster families, with 3.2 million paternal, maternal, or double orphans in this country. Lifeline Children's Services, one of the largest child welfare agencies in the country, facilitates adoption and foster care programs to help place vulnerable children in stable, loving homes," end quote. Herbie Newell is the president and executive director of Lifeline Children's Services. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Herbie to the program. Herbie Newell, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Jerry, thanks for having me, and certainly so grateful that you're tackling such an important topic that is truly at the forefront of our society today.
Well, tell us about the America First Policy Institute and their study of almost 400,000 children.
Yeah, certainly. So according to the study, as you stated, really looking at the reasons that kids are in foster care, looking at the instability that these kids are facing, knowing that most kids in foster care, so you take that 391, you know, a third of those children in foster care are in at least three homes per year. And so we see that these homes that they're being placed in are not giving them the permanence and the stability that they need. And the greatest need for any child is permanence, is stability, is to know where they're going to be and how they're going to be loved and cared for. But then we also see out of our system, about 20% of the youth are aging out and becoming homeless. And so we don't have a good mechanism for how do we not only care for kids while they're in foster care, but how do we get kids out of foster care? And one of the things that as a ministry, Lifeline really wants to do is we want to come alongside of the church to say, how do we provide foster homes that provide stability for a child, that show them what a loving home looks like? And also, how do we care for these kids that are aging out of the system? How do we come alongside of them? How do we bring loving training, life skill training, job skill training, and just life training so that they can truly be able to experience life in a way that doesn't end tragically?
Well, why is it that some states reject parents who, for example, you know, believe what the Bible says about marriage and, you know, about homosexuality, whatever? In other words, there are some states where if you don't accept same-sex marriage, then you can't be a foster parent.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we certainly see a lot of the states in the Pacific Northwest, as well as states on the Eastern Coast and even some in the Heartland, that are making these large pronouncements that are saying that families that have these strong biblical beliefs that Lifeline as an organization holds to aren't able to foster. And a lot of what we've done in our country is we have put these progressive ideals above caring well for our children. And we also see these progressive ideals really start to infiltrate our colleges and our universities. And so we have graduates that are getting into the child welfare system that believe that even if you've gone through trauma, if you've gone through hurt, or even if you've been abused sexually, then maybe you need to consider that you're not the gender that you were, quote unquote, using their words, assigned at birth. And so any Bible-believing person that would say, no, there's a loving God that made you male and female, but he also can redeem hurt, and he can redeem pain, and he can redeem trauma. We don't fall in line with this modern-day progressive worldview, and it's completely backwards, but they find that Christians like myself and like you are more harmful and hurtful to children, as opposed to those children not having a home to go to. And so the only way I can truly explain it is it really is when we see in God's word that in one day they will call a lie truth and truth a lie. And that's what we see even alive and well within the child welfare system.
Okay, tell us about Lifeline Children's services in terms of what does success look like to you and your organization?
Yeah, so for us, we really want to follow the commands, the biblical commands that you see throughout God's word, to care for the vulnerable woman, to care for the orphan, to care for the fatherless. You know, it starts when God's people come out of Egypt, and in Leviticus, the Lord gives them the command that they shouldn't go back through their fields, but that they should leave the abundance. They should leave the parts of their fields for the fatherless, for the widow, for the stranger, for the orphan, for the alien. And we see it replicate throughout God's word in Isaiah 1:17. The book of Ruth is a widow. She's an orphan. She's a stranger. She's an alien. She's vulnerable. And she finds herself in the Boaz's field. And then, of course, we see the symmetry and the analogy of adoption and the gospel in Romans chapter 8, and Ephesians chapter 1, and Colossians 3 and 4. And so Galatians 3 and 4. So as a ministry, we believe that we're called by God to care for the vulnerable. And for us, success means helping those vulnerable people find care, find love, find stability, find permanence, but also to find the lover of their soul who created them, made them, and formed them. And as a gospel-driven, gospel-centered organization, for us, true success is when we have so helped a vulnerable person, helping them find both physical stability but also spiritual stability, that they in turn are able to help another physically and spiritually. And so we really want to see the vulnerable woman, the vulnerable child, the vulnerable family so transformed that they are now able to help others who are vulnerable. And really quickly, just to celebrate, we have a program called Families Count, where we have churches that are coming around side of these families. We're helping these families get their kids out of foster care. So we started off with talking about how many kids in foster care. There are families that have lost these kids. We want to help when it's safe and reliable and healthy. We want to help these families get their kids back out of the foster care system. Well, praise be the Lord, this last year we trained three families who had been clients, who had been participants in Families Count. We trained them to now be mentors of other families going through the Families Count process. And so these are families that have been so transformed physically and spiritually and emotionally that they're now able to help others. And that's success for us.
Huh. Okay, look at your watch. We have about 6 minutes left, just so you get an idea. How does a child end up in the foster care system in the first place?
Yeah, so a lot of it is going to be neglect. It could be a child that's at home alone in an age that is not appropriate. Unfortunately, some of it is going to be violence. It could be physical in nature, mental in nature, some type of hurt or trauma, unfortunately as well, sexual violence as well. A lot of times it is poverty. It's a mom or a dad that are unable to meet the basic needs of their children. And so those children are taken out of their homes, you know. And then certainly it is dismemberment of families. Dismemberment could be physical, but it could also be parents that are serving time incarceration. And so lots of different things that bring about a child that needs to be taken out of a home and placed into foster care.
All right. Do you want to give us an example or two of a successful story with your ministry?
100%. You know, even as we end there with incarceration, you know, recently there was a young lady who found out that she was going to have to be incarcerated for 3 months in the state of South Dakota. And we had a church partner that was able to bring forth a family that we trained and equipped to care for this young lady's two children while she was going and being incarcerated. So this family loved on her kids and cared for them, but also went the extra mile and on visitation days would take those kids to see their mom who was behind bars. But not only did they take care of the kids, another sector of the church would actually go in on visitation day and begin to mentor and disciple this young lady, talk to her about the decisions that she had made and how she could make new choices. Fast forward, this last January, January 24, mom was let out of prison. In prison, through the council of the church, she actually became a Christ follower. She found a job that she could start working remotely inside of prison and is now in, and her children are back with her. And she's a member of this church that loved her so well when she was incarcerated. And another quick story that I will just tell you.
Go ahead.
It is about 18 years ago, we had a young woman who had a crisis pregnancy, and she placed her baby for adoption. And just last month, so January as well, we actually hired her to come on and counsel women who are in the same position she was 18 years ago. She has been so transformed over these last 18 years that she now wants to help women who are in the same spot she was in.
Okay, tell us another story and take it maybe from the perspective of the volunteer. I mean, other than the one you just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we certainly have seen our adoptive families and foster families who volunteer, who give of their time, their talent, give of their home to wrap around these kids. And we've seen them transformed in so many different ways by being able to have more grace and empathy and compassion by really being able to see the world in a different way. And even just this last week, I was speaking with a family who had been fostering for a long time and had begun to say, hey, we want to get more engaged in actually mentoring the parents. We've cared for these kids for so long, but it's grown in us an empathy and a compassion for their parents and for these vulnerable women who are walking through unexpected, unwanted pregnancies. And so we're looking for ways and have already started to find ways that this family can now plug in their own community and through their own church in caring for women and families who are struggling. And so, yes, it changes the child. It changes their system. It changes these vulnerable parents, but it also changes the volunteers' hearts and minds. And it really changes their perspective.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. How did you personally get involved in this, and what do you find rewarding about it?
Yeah, 100%. So my background is in business. I was a certified public accountant and doing financial planning and for businesses and consulting for businesses, as well as audits and just financial statements. And my wife, Ashley, was a crisis pregnancy center director here locally in Birmingham, Alabama. And we would just pray for these women that had come through her center. We would pray that the Lord would show his will to them. We would ask the Lord, what can we personally do as a family on their behalf? And the Lord really started to transform our heart and our mind to say, this is something we need to very intimately do with our careers. And the Lord led me to Lifeline and this opportunity to be able to lead a ministry that is pro-life, not just in the womb, but outside of the womb as well, to say, how do we help life really be able to thrive and survive? And how do we point that life to Christ?
Huh. Are you glad you made that change?
100%. It was 21 years ago. And if I'm open and honest with you and your listeners, I honestly thought I would do it for 5 years and this would be something that I would do, you know, kind of as a mid-stage before whatever the Lord had for me next. But the Lord has just so blessed and enriched this time, and I wouldn't trade the last 21 years for anything else.
Huh. Okay, well, thank you so much for being with us. LifelineChild.org for more information. And we have 10 seconds left, 15 seconds left. How many children are you able to help, or how many families are you able to help each year? Real short.
Yeah, so last year we were able to place for adoption 300 kids, and we touched over 1,000 women through our counseling services and 17,000 kids around worldwide.
Wow. LifelineChild.org. Herbie Newell, thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you so much, Jerry.